Okay, time to practice. There are times when talk about practice is helpful, and times, as you said just now, that it gets in the way. And the best way to solve that problem is just simply to do the practice. When you talk about it, sometimes there's a tendency for it to get abstract. And when that happens, we forget that the whole point of the Dharma is to point into our hearts. The big issues we carry around inside us. Our fears, our sufferings, our whole sense of what life is all about. And to the extent that talking about the practice helps get some perspective on that, then it's useful. But the talk has to be part of a larger doing something about those problems. And sometimes the doing may seem strange. You're sitting watching our breath. What does that do? Well, it brings us very close to the heart, very close to our minds. Of all the things we can know outside of the mind, this is the closest. And as we're one-on-one with the breath, that changes our perspective on things. We're able to let go of a lot of the outside distractions. And ultimately turn our attention into the other one part of the one-on-one, which is the mind, aware of all what's going on here. There was a time years back when I was first ordained, and John Fuling had me memorize the Divine Mantra, which I must admit struck me as kind of strange. And yet, as I memorized it, and he had me chant it every evening. And I was living alone up on the hill there in Rayong. And it's funny, after a while, that the chants became less of a weird thing that happens in Thai Buddhism and something that was more and more my friend as I was sitting there, going through the night all by myself. And then one day it really hit me. I was going through the six elements and finally got to consciousness, and something inside me said, it's not, you know, some idea of consciousness out there. This is my own mind, my own heart that this is referring to, right here, right now. It was like this huge block of ice inside me just shattered. And I was able to open up and realize that the meditation wasn't some strange foreign thing. I hadn't thought consciously that it was, but deep down inside, subconsciously, there was that feeling this was strange. It was something from another culture. That night it became mine. My awareness of my mind, my awareness of the things that were really deep inside. And the real tenderness that was around there, tenderness not in the sense of being nice, but the sense of having been wounded, and the need for some help there, need for some healing there. And I wouldn't say that I hadn't gained anything from the practice up to that point, but the quality of what I gained changed that night. And this is what we're working on as we're practicing. The term patipat in Thai means to practice, as when we're practicing the Dharma, but also means to look after somebody. And sometimes they say we're not here to patipat the Buddha's teachings, we're here to patipat our own minds. Look after our own minds, after our own hearts. So although sometimes the process of meditation may seem mechanical, you're focusing on the breath, you're dealing with the mechanics of the breathing, the physical aspects of the breathing, how that relates to pain, ultimately it starts getting closer and closer and closer to your heart. And as you learn to treat your heart with more sensitivity using the breath, after all, you find it begins to own up, to open up. It begins to own up to the things it's been doing. It opens up and allows you to heal it. Without that, there's going to be a resistance. So this may happen fast or may happen slow, but the important thing is that as you get to know the breath, get more and more close to the breath, you find that you're also getting closer and closer to your own mind, closer and closer to the more sensitive parts of your mind. And as you deal with the breath more and more precisely, with more sensitivity, you find the mind is finally willing to open up to itself. Up to that point, it's probably been used to being abused and misused, and so it shuts up even against yourself. One part of the mind shuts up against another part. And so the healing can't take place. So your conscious awareness has to learn to be a healing awareness before the parts of the mind that need to be healed will be willing to open up. So an important principle as you practice is sensitivity. Start out with being very sensitive to the breath and getting to know how it feels in the different parts of the body, how different rhythms of breathing feel. Not so much that you would want to become a breath mechanic, although that's one of the side benefits. But you develop the sensitivity to the present moment, your sensitivity to the least little bit of stress, least little bit of harshness inside the present moment. And you gain more finesse in dealing with it, and smoothing through it, evaporating it, dissolving it away. And you begin to see even this simple process of breathing is something that can be done well or done poorly. If you pay attention to it, it can be done well. And the simple fact that you've got a breath turns into something more than just the process that keeps the body together or keeps you alive. It can actually be used to heal the body, to deal with different types of pain in the body. And at the same time, you find it gets more and more healing to the mind. And as you become more sensitive or precise about how you approach the present moment, how you deal with the present moment, all those shut up parts of your mind, the ones that shut themselves off because they didn't want to be mistreated, seem to realize it instinctively that they're getting better treatment now. Your conscious awareness is a more healing awareness than it was before. This is how your awareness really begins to open up. Those parts of the body that many times have trouble accessing, even with a breath. There comes a point where your sensitivity reaches the point where that part begins to open up. Many times you'll notice as you start meditating that if you really look at your body, certain parts of the body seem to be missing. There's a holding in, or there's a tension there that blocks things off. But you find that when your sensitivity of the breath gets more and more subtle, the blockages begin to dissolve, and you realize that what was seemed to be a physical blockage also had its mental side as well. And it's opening up now that you have the tools to deal with it. So your sensitivity to the present moment is a very important part of developing concentration, developing insight, dealing with the whole problem of suffering, the whole problem of the burdens that the mind carries around. All the unskillful mental states that seem to get lodged in the mind and do their damage in the mind, and that many times we're afraid to deal with. When you're given the tools of not only the breath, but also other perspectives of the Dharma, and this is why talking about the Dharma can be helpful. When I was staying with Ajahn Phuong, it wasn't just the meditation technique, it was just being around him, getting his perspective on things. Many times it was useful having someone from a totally different background. I'd come up with a problem and he'd look at me as if I came from the other side of the world, which I had. The problem to me that I was telling him about seemed a very natural way of looking at it. To him, it was extremely strange. learning to see the strangeness of some of my problems was a very useful exercise. Getting a very different perspective on it, getting outside of the problem for a while. So if our discussions help in that way, then it's a useful discussion. Give us a new perspective on our problems. But the real work is something that's done inside, and many times it's hardly even verbal at all. This is why the breath is such a good way of getting around a lot of the blockages. Because instead of attacking the problem verbally, you come in from the nonverbal side, the energy in the body. Becoming sensitive to that, and that gets around a lot of the mind's automatic defenses. Because it's these patterns of blockage, mental blockage in the mind, that's what ignorance is all about. And that's hiding behind that ignorance are all the causes of suffering. This is one of the scary parts of being born into any realm, especially the human realm. And the realms below that. You come into this life, you meet with suffering immediately, and there's nobody to explain it to you. You're dealing with it head on. Other people are there to comfort you, but they can't explain to you how to deal with it yourself. And so what the mind does, it comes up with all kinds of jerry-rigged approaches, improvised approaches to how to keep the suffering at bay. And then we carry those approaches into our adult lives without realizing it. Many times those approaches involve blocking, denial. And it's not just a mental blocking, it's a physical blocking as well. So as we're working with the breath and getting around some of these blockages, don't be surprised when things come up in the mind that seemed to be lying very peacefully before. Suddenly they get stirred up. It's because the barrier behind which they were hiding has suddenly dissolved away. So you use your sensitivity that you've developed in the meditation. You use your understanding of the Dharma, too, that you've developed by reading and listening. Gaining a perspective on the whole issue of suffering and the end of suffering. And use it directly to deal with your own sufferings. The Buddha wasn't talking about suffering in the abstract. He was talking about the suffering that's lodged in each person's heart. And the tools he offered to come into the heart in order where they can make all the difference.